Okay, Rabosai, today's daf is daf Tzadi Hey in Masechet Shabbos. We are holding on the bottom of Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis by the two dots. We had, if you remember in the Mishnah had listed a bunch of actions and had stated that it was a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim as to whether they are Asur Midiraisa or Asur Midirabbanan. So let's go over the ones that are shaykh to us now. The Mishnah, if the two dots here says V'chein Agodeles, which is the three of them, Rashi recorded in the Mishnah, V'chein Godeles, V'kocheles, and Pokeses. Now, if you remember, Godeles, Rashi says, someone who braids their hair. Kocheles, you put on blue makeup. A woman puts on blue makeup around their eyeshadow, or whatever. And Pokeses, so he had two dais. But let's say that the first one that Rashi liked was that he uses some sort of comb or brush to kind of like fix or part her hair. So let's those malachas are what we're talking about right now. This Gemara says, "Godelas kochalas upokasas mishumai nechayve." What malacha are you chay for if you do when you do these things? So I'm Rabbi Alvin, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Godelas mishum oreges, when she braids her hair, it's for weaving. Kochalas mishum koseves, when she puts on blue makeup, so then it is because of kosave of writing. And Bokeses, when she does this part with her hair with a comb, Mishum Tove, for weaving, for spinning. So Amar Rabbanan, Kameh Rabbi Avoh, V'chiderech Arika B'kach, V'chiderech Ksiva B'kach, V'chiderech Tavia B'kach. What, is that the normal way of doing those malachas? Right? That's not the normal way of doing those malachas at all. Elam, Rabbi Avoh said that the Dima Farshali, Mineh Rabbi Yossi V'chanina. Rabbi Avoh says, I got the pshat. What's the pshat? So Kochelas Mishum Tzovas, if you put on this makeup, is because of tzoveya, which is coloring or dyeing, D-Y-E, and godelas pokeses, and the two malachos with her hair, mishum bona, because of building. Fascinating. Gemara says a question you're probably thinking, derech binyan bekach, is that the way you build something with a woman's hair? So, I mean, you have binyan in a person? Right? Is that what, usually binyan we think of a building? Or some sort of utensil or whatever. So Gemara says, actually, in. Yes, that is considered a form of building. Fascinating. What was the first instance of building in the Chumash? Kadosh Baruch Hu built Chava. Right, from the bone, again, if you're understanding that way, from the thing that he had taken from Adam. So Malamed says the Braisa, says the Gemara, Shekila Kadosh Baruch Hu lechava. That Kadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol braided her hair, v'kevia etal Adam, and brought her to Adam. She came b'krach ayam korin lekaliyasa banyasa. They call someone who braids in the krach ayam, in the cities and the sea, meaning the islands. So they call someone who braids hair a banisa or banisa, someone who builds. So you do see that is actually found, and therefore you're going to be chayav for bona in those cases. Tanya will end their brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Again, that's obviously only according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you're chayav midaraisa. According to Rabbanan, it's these are Rabbanan. Okay. Tanya will end their brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Godelas, Kochelas, Upokeses, La'atzma, Petura. If she does these malachos for herself, when she is potter, but L'chaverta, if she does it for a friend, so then she's going to be chayiv. That is the best way to do it. The way you can do it the best and the most expertly is by doing it to someone else. Just to read Rashi over here. She'ena yichol livnos yafet. When a woman is not able to braid and do her hair perfectly. Ein derech binyan ele isha lechavrta sheroa ve'osa. The only derech binyan that is when someone does it to someone else. I asked me a question. Well, didn't they have mirrors? Couldn't they have put on makeup themselves, braided their own hair? So, yes, but I would argue that, what's an example of, let's say, professional makeup artists? Yeah, you've ever watched behind the scenes in any movie or TV show or whatever. So all of the artists or actors or whatever, they sit in a chair and they got makeup put on them. Like, they don't put on their own makeup. Right? They have makeup put on them, sometimes for hours. Right, when you're talking about professional, good, 100% makeup, so it's much more effective, at least I would argue, when someone does it to someone else, and that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay. V'chein hayi Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar used to say as well. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Isha lo savir srak al panoa. A woman should not put srak. Srak is a, Rashi says, a red makeup. I don't know, blush, rouge, something like that. But Pnei Tzovas, because that is the malacha of Tzovea, and it is Osir Midarai. So again, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a braisa. Hacholev, someone who milks an animal. The Hamachabetz, someone who takes, who strains milk to make it into, right, part of the process to make it cheese. Yeah, I think so. Or maybe it's, Rashi over here says, right, Mabin Chalav Bekevas, oh, so you put milk into the innards of an animal, and that's how you get cheese. And the mice, okay, fine. Vamagabin, and someone who, that's building and making cheese, so Machabetz must be something to do with the whey, or some sort of straining to get the, maybe the whey, yeah, I think to get the whey from the cheese, that from the milk that has kind of congealed a little bit. Whatever the proper words are in that process, I'm not sure. Vamagabin, right, okay, we said someone makes cheese, that's, the shear is kigrogeres. That is, if you do any of that stuff, so if you do it to the amount of a grogeris, then you're going to be chayv. Hamachabed, and this we're talking about, it's not honoring somebody, but Rashi says it's a bias. If you sweep the floor, famarabets, and we said if you put water down on the dirt, dust floor, on the dirt floor, so the dirt doesn't rise up, vaharoda, and that is some, vaharoda chalos dvash, and someone who takes out honeycombs from the honey, or from the beehive. Shagag b'shabes chayev chatas. If you did it b'shogeg b'shabes chayev chatas, hazy b'yantav yolok arba'im. If you do it on purpose on yantav, you get malchus. That's just basically a fancy way of saying it's osir midaraisa. That's different. Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim moment. The chachamim say no. Echadze v'echadze eno ela mishum shvos. And we have the malchukas here as well in these malachas, just like we had in the Mishnah before. Rav Nachum Bar Guya ikol neharda. Rav Nachum Bar Guya went to a neharda. Ba'u minei and asked the question. Cholev mishum ay mechayev. What are you chayev for when a person milks? Amalehu, he said to them, well, mishum cholev, for milking. Mechabetz mishum ay mechayev. What are you chayev for doing, I guess, taking the whey out of milk? Amalehu mishum mechabetz. Megavin, making cheese, my mechayev. So amalehu mishum megavin. He said, you know, no kidding. So they said back to him, well, thanks a heap. Rabcha Kotel Kani Bagmahava. Apparently your Rebbe, your teacher, was a reed cutter in the swamp. You just answer us with what we're asking. You're not doing anything at all. It's not helpful whatsoever. So they went to also Shal Bay Medrash. So they had to go to the base medrash. They wanted to know what the din was. So they said to him, so cholev chayv mishum mefarik. When someone milks an animal, you're chayv for mefarik. Mefarik is separating. It's a toldo of dush, of threshing, basically taking an item, taking the milk out of the udder. Mechabetz chayv mishum borer. Again, when you're taking when you're taking the whey out of the milk, so that's going to be borer. And megabein is chayv mishum bona. When you make cheese, you're chayv for building. Now the second part of the braisa. And the chabid v'hamarabetz v'harod v'chalas dvash. Right, if someone sweeps the floor or sprinkles water on the floor to smooth out the floor, or you take some honeycomb, so then shagag b'shabes chayv chadas hezid b'yamtiv lokar. Rabbi Eliezer, says asmi daraisa. On Rabbi Elazar. Not Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Elazar, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's his reasoning? The Chetiv Pasuk says, Vayitbol Osa Bieros Advash. This Pasuk is by Yonason in Sefer Shmuel. He dipped his staff in honeycomb. This Gemara says, My Inyan Yar, it's all the Advash, right? It says Yaros Dvash. Yar is a forest. So what's the deal? What does a forest have to do with honey? Ella Lomar Lacho, it teaches us, My Yar, Atolish Mimeno Bishab is Chayiv Chatas. Just like if you're in the forest and you take something off of a tree. So then you're chayev chatas. Af chalos dvash harodah bimenu b'shabes chayev chatas. So too by a honeycomb. If you take a honeycomb from a beehive, you're going to be chayev chatas. Well, that's where he gets it from. Now, in Echinami, that source is in Nevi'im, but he used that source to kind of, not necessarily to prove it, but to kind of reinforce his shita that you would be chayev midaraisa. Okay. Amemar shara zilcha b'mechoza. Amemar allowed people to sprinkle water on the floors in mechoza. Right. We just said before that theoretically is the malacha. That's merabeitz. What we just said is chayv for. What is it? Chayv for? I guess we didn't mention it, but it's probably chayv for. We said mashava gumos. You're built. It's bona when you're smoothing out the floor on Shabbos. If it's a dirt floor, so Amemar let them do this. So Amar time of ma'is. He said, "What's the reason?" Amar Rabbanan dilma asli l'shviyu gumos. Right? It's a dindir Rabbanan. Maybe you may come to smooth out the floors, the uneven parts of the floor, and that would be bona. So heicha leka b'hacha, but here in mechoza. Like a gumos, there are no holes in the floor because all the floors in Mechoza were made out of stone. So once the floors are made out of stone, so then Amemar said there's no problem with sprinkling this water on the floor to kind of keep down the dust. Rava Tofso should change here. What's the Bach changes it to Rabba? Okay, fine. Rabba Tofso, either way, Tosfa, that was actually his name. Ashkechei the Ravina. He met Ravina, the Kamatzar Behevla, who was having a tough time with the dirt, or the dust that was on the floor, that was coming up from the floor. Amalei Mark Shisha Brei Derava Ashkechei the Ravashi the Kamatzar Behevla. Okay, maybe it was Ravashi who was having a tough time with the dust. Amalei, he said to him, Lo Sabra Mar Loha the Tanya. Do you not hold this of what we just taught? Harotzer the Rabbi says, Beso B'Shabbes Mevi Areva Malei Amayim. Oh, we didn't just teach it, I'm sorry. But we've been discussing this topic of if a person wants to put water out on his floor, what should he do? He should bring a bucket of water. V'rochetz Panav B'Zavis Zu. He should wash his face in this corner. Yadav B'Zavis Zu. His hands in another corner. Raglav B'Zavis Zu. His feet in the other corner. Right, all those things. Mutzer to wash your face with water on Shabbos, right? Cold water. So Vinimsa Abai is Miss Rabbit's Me'elov. And you're obviously going to spill a little bit. So you see that the water goes on the floor Me'elov. So that is going to be Mutter. So Malay, Lav Adatoi. So he said to him, Lav Adatoi, Rashi has 2 days. Either you're right, I didn't know that halacha, or I don't hold that halacha. Meaning, and that's why the floors are still dirty and they haven't put water down to wash it up. Tana within the Rebraisa, Isha Chachama, a woman who is smart, Rashi says, either an Isha's Tama Chacham, or the daughter of a Talmud Chacham that heard, that knows the halacha, Marbetzes Beis HaBeShabbos is able to figure out a way, like we just suggested, to put water and keep the dust down from our floors on Shabbos. And then the Gemara finishes off, Edna the Sri like Rabbi Shimon, and now that we hold like Rabbi Shimon, the Malach Shensuch HaLagufa is Miz Mutter, so then for Shari Afilu Lechatchila, it is Mutter, even Lechatchila. And it's totally fine. Okay. I'm just reading Rashi again. It's not Lakshin Tzuch Lagufa, it's Dabrishin and Miskavin. Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds the Dabrishin and Miskavin is Mutter, right? Obviously, he holds the Lakshin Tzuch Lagufa is Mutter also, but Dabrishin and Miskavin is Mutter. If I'm a rabbi, what about this case of Merabit? Ain a Miskavin lahadbik afar baguma lahashva sabayis, right? Your intention is not to stick the dirt together to smooth out the holes. Ela shalo yala avak, right? What's your purpose with this whole game you're playing with the water all over the floors? So you're trying to make sure that the dust stays settled. You're not trying to, make sure that the holes are smooth and your floor is smooth. So in that case, it's Debrishin and Miskavin, and therefore you are going to be Potter, and it's actually Mutter, according to Rabbi Shim. Okay. New Mishnah. Hatolis Me'atzitz Nakuv. Now, the concept of an Atzitz Nakuv is like this. You ever go to, Home Depot and buy a potted plant? Right? Obviously, the pot is made out of pottery. So in the ones at Home Depot, they have a hole on the bottom. Yeah, so that you can, either the water will drain out, or a couple of holes, or if you wanted to plant it, you could plant it, and then, or whatever, then it could kind of be attached to the ground. So it's Atzitz Nakuv is one of these pots, or pieces of pottery, a potted plant, that has a hole in the bottom, or on the sides, of the pottery. And the question is going to be, is that considered, let's say now you put it on top of the ground, and the roots grow out. Or maybe they don't, but either way, the plant is taking nourishment from the ground. So is that considered planted or not. And there are many nafkaminas. An otzis she'eno nakuv is a potted plant that does not have a hole. If for whatever reason, you know, you got a bad one from the Home Depot or whatever it is, so it would, if it does not have a hole, that's otzis she'eno nakuv. Okay, so with that phraseology, just to read the Mishnah, ha'tolish me'otzitz nakuv. Let's say you do talisha, you pull out a plant that is in an otzitz nakuv, that's in a potted a piece of pottery that has a hole on the bottom. A flower pot, that's the word I'm looking for. In a pot, a flower pot that has a hole on the bottom, so you're going to be chayiv. That's chayiv midaraisa, that's considered as if it's attached to the ground, and you're chayiv for that on Shabbos. If it's an enonakuv, if there's no hole in the flower pot, so then potter, then you're going to be potter, it's potter avalaser. Rabbi Shimon, potter bezeo bezeo, Rabbi Shimon says you're potter regardless, and then we'll talk about that immediately. Okay. Says the Gemara, Rami le abaye the Rava, Rav Amri la Rabbi Chia, bar Rav the Rav. There's a stira, depending on who you hold like, either he was abaye, depending on which version of the Gemara you like, and we're not which version, but which version of the Mesorah, I guess. The Gemara is not, there's no two days in the Gemara, but either way, either Abai Tarava or Rabbi Chia bar Rav Tarav said the following. So now we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Poter Bezeh Obezeh. Rabbi Shimon says in both cases, by the Atzitz Nakuf, you are going to be Poter. Alma, apparently, what does he hold? That no cave, Nakuf, that if the flower pot has a hole, the Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, Kesha Eno Nakuf. He holds that they're the same. Right? Whether the flower pot has a hole or not, he holds that both of them are considered to not be attached to the ground. I'll ask you a question on that. Astira, Rabbi Shimon says, the only difference between a flower pot that has a hole in the ground, in the bottom of it, and a flower pot that does not, is Ella Lahakshir Zroim Bilvad, is to make seeds inside of it. Mekabel Toma. What is that? So we know that something that is connected to the ground is not Mekabel Toma. We also know that food needs to be machshir, or I guess has to be prepared to be Mekabel Toma by getting some sort of liquid on it. And there's seven liquids, Yad Shachadam, water, Mayim, Yayin, or whatever it is, Yad Shachadam, I don't want to take time to go through them now, but there's seven liquids that can make food susceptible to Toma. Now, that has to happen after it is already detached from the ground, that the water or whatever has to go on this food, and therefore, and then it'll become Mekabel Toma. If it's still attached to the ground, it is not no longer Mekabel Toma, which makes sense, because obviously all fruit that's on a tree, whether it's dew or rain or whatever, it's going to get wet at some point. So all food will be tummy in that case. But no, so it has to happen after it's detached from the ground. The question is, what do you do with an otzitz nakuv, an otzitz she'enu nakuv? What about a flower pot that has a hole or not? So if you read Rashi over here, the first Rashi on the Beis, has roim betoko otzitz nakuv. If you have seeds inside of a potted plant with a hole, enu makabel hechshar l'tumah, they are not able to be Mekabel Toma, even if you get them wet, because they're considered to be attached to the ground in terms of this halacha. But if it's in a pot, a flower pot without a hole, so then Mekabel Hechsher, then it is going to be Mekabel Toma if it gets wet, but detalushu, because it is considered detached. Didn't Rabbi Shimon say that a potted plant and flower pot with a hole, or flower pot without a hole, there's no difference, right? Seemingly, according to our Mishnah, they're the same in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. And here you tell me there's a difference in terms of Hechsher Tumah. So Amalei, Lekol Mili Rabbi Shimon Ketolosh Mashavilei. You're right. Really, Rabbi Shimon holds that a Otzitz Nakuv, a potted flower pot with a hole, is considered Tolosh. It's considered detached. V'she'eno v'shayni linyan tuma, but why is there a difference in terms of hechsher tuma? The Torah ripsa tahara etzel zroyim, because the Torah, meaning really, bikaron, it should be detached and it should be considered able to be mekabel tuma. But the Torah added an extra pasuk to say by seeds. And in terms of their ability to be mekabel tuma, Shema's pasuk says al kol zera zeru asher yizareah. And if it has an extra word over there, Rashi says, "Kederach she'adam motzi l'Israel le'me'utei mechubar kol dehu." Right, there's an extra riboy that even if it's connected to the ground kol dehu in any slight manner, i.e., in a potted a flower pot that has a hole in the bottom, so then it's going to be considered still mechubar l'karka and not mekabel tuma. Okay. But bottom line, Rabbi Shimon holds it really in general that a flower pot with a hole is considered detached, not attached. Boy, mine ahusaba mi Rabbi Zera. Ahusaba, some grandfather, Tosus and Chulin, moderately well known, we definitely mentioned before. There's Tosus and Chulin that says that ahusaba, whenever they talk about a grandfather, that's Elio Hanavi. From what I've heard, not that I'm holding enough, but from what I've heard, that there are a couple places in Shas where that does not work out so well, but Lamaisa is Tosos in Chulin. He's talking about Elianoa and Navi. Anyway, Ha'usaba Mirabiz, Abominate Ha'usaba Mirabizero. Some grandfather, Zayda, asked Rabbi Zera the following question. Shorish Kneged Nekev, Mali Amar Rabbi Shimon. What would Rabbi Shimon say? And again, generally holds that a flower pot with a hole is detached. Let's say the root is mamish in the hole. Is mamish through or next to the hole. What would Rabbi Shimon say in that scenario? Maybe he would say that since the root is not blocked by any of the pottery, right, it goes straight down into the hole, right, it touches the soil, etc., etc. Maybe Rabbi Shimon will be moda that's considered mechubar l'karka. So Ishtik, Rabbi Zera didn't say anything back. V'lo amar le v'lo midi, he didn't say anything. Zimnechado, another time, Ashkechei, this grandfather, the Zayda Oske, found Rabbi Zera, the Yossi v'ka'amar, who was sitting, and he said the halacha, Moder Rabbi Shimon shem nikev b'kedei ta'araso. Rabbi Shimon will agree that if the flower pot has a hole that would make it tahor, then we're going to see in a minute, there are a bunch of shiurim in terms of different statuses, in terms of how you can make it tahor. We'll do it when we get there, but it's at the bottom of the daf today. So what exactly that shear is, but you see that according to Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Shimon would be moda that if the pot was broken enough to be no longer considered a flower pot, and therefore was no longer mekabel tuma, if it was now tahor, that Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's considered that you're chayiv midoraisa for taking a plant, because now it's considered planted, it's considered mechubar l'karka. Amarlei, so the Saba said to him, Hashta shorish kineged nekev boi minach, v'lo amar t'li v'lo midi. One second, I asked you a question, when the root is straight up against the hole in the flower pot, so it's straight on the dirt. So you didn't say anything, you were mesupak, you weren't sure. But nikev k'nei taraso, let's say there's a hole in the pot that will make it tahor, miboya. Right, do you know anything about that question? Right, you should also have been the supak in that question. You also shouldn't have known the halacha. Why would you automatically admit that Rabbi Shimon will agree that if there's this hole that will make it tahor, then it's considered mechubar l'karka? So Rabbi said, "V'itmar lahad Rabbi Zera hachiyu d'itmar." So Rabbi says, "You're right. If Rabbi Zera said anything, this is what he must have said." U'mod Rabbi Shimon shem nikev lamata mirvius. That Rabbi Shimon says that if the flower pot has a hole on the bottom of it to the point where it cannot hold a revius anymore, meaning the hole is on the bottom, yeah, so it doesn't hold a revius of water anymore, so then he's going to be masking that it's mechubar lakarka, because then there literally is no purpose, there's no function to the flower pot. Because it can't even hold a revius of water. All right. Amar Rava. Now, this is what I was referencing before. Chamesh midos b'klicheres nikev. B'klicheres, sorry. Chamesh, there are five different midos, five different measurements in a klicheres, in an earthenware pot. Nikev kamotzi mashke. If it has enough of a hole in order to leak out liquid, so then tahor. Then he's tahor milatame gistra. Then it is tahor if it is a gistra. What's a gistra? So then it's like this: that if you have a little tiny hole in a regular flower pot, so that's not big enough to make it not usable, unless obviously on the bottom it's not able to hold a revius. That's what we just mentioned. But let's say a flower pot breaks, but you still have a usable shard, a usable piece of that flower pot made out of pottery. So whatever use you can think of for a shard of pottery, right? We talked about using it to go to the to help you wipe or whatever in the bathrooms that they used to use it for back in the day. Whatever it is, maybe you can use it as a cup or a clee or a spoon or whatever, anything. Now, let's say that shard gets a little hole. So the same size of a hole that would not ordinarily make a flower pot tahor, that would make a flower pot, you know, no longer a clee, that will now invalidate the shard as being a clee. Because basically, as Rashi and the Gemara, not the Gemara here, but the Rashi explains that basically that no one's keeping a shard that's broken. And you might keep a broken flower pot, but no one's keeping a flower pot shard that has a crack in it. So when he says there are five different midos, the first one is nikev kamotzi mashke, if there's a hole that's big enough to let liquid drain out. So again, imagine a flower pot breaks and you have the full side of a flower pot and you'll use it to, scoop water for, for a cat. You'll use it for like a water bowl for a cat or something to look at. Now let's say that gets a hole in the bottom and it can't even hold liquid. So that's going to make it tahor. That's not going to make the shard totally unusable as a kli, and therefore it's tahor mila tame. It's no longer mekabel tuma. Okay. Va'adayin klihu lekadesh bo mechatas. But it's still considered to be a kli, meaning if it's a full kli, a full flower pot, let's say it has no hole in the bottom, sheino nakuv, and it gets this little tiny hole in the top, let's say, it's still good enough, you're still able to use it to be mekadesh the mechatas. One of the processes in making part water from the paraduma was to be mekadesh the waters, with the whole procedure, whatever. You need some sort of clean. Okay, so that will not invalidate it from being able to be used in the whole paraduma mechatas ritual. Kikones mashke tahor. Sorry, I keep on skipping that. Nikev kikones mashke. If it was the hole was big enough that liquid can get into the flower pot, shall we say? Tahor mi kadosh ba mechatas. Now it is no longer good and usable for the mechatas. Right, meaning it's tahor. It's no longer able to be used as a kli. V'adayin kli hu lahach shebozrayim. But it is considered a kli, a usable utensil to make seeds. Makshir and Mekabel Tumah, right? Because it's still considered a usable flower pot, and if you put it in the ground, it's not considered Mechubel Karka. Nikev Kishorish Katan. Now, if you have a hole the size of a root, a small root, so then Torah Mila Akshir Bozroim, now it's no longer going to allow the seeds inside of it to become Mekabel Tumah. It's going to be considered as if it's planted in the ground, but V'adayin Kliyu the Mekabel Bozesim. It's still considered a utensil to carry olives. Therefore, it's still considered a kli that's mekabel tuma. Number four, nikev. I think it's four. Yeah, nikev kamotzi zesim. Let's say the hole is big enough now you can take out olives. So then it's tahor mekabel bo zesim. Then it is no longer considered a kli. Not mekabel tara for to hold olives, but a dying kli ula mekabel bo rimonim. It's still considered a kli if you want to put in pomegranates. Nikev kamotzi rimonim. Now, if it gets a hole that's pomegranates will fit through. Then tahor miklum, then it's totally tahor, it's no longer considered a kli whatsoever. But v'muhukaf tzamid pasil, this comes up in Parshas Chukas, we're getting to it soon. I think that's actually where the Americans will catch up in terms of their falling behind in the Parshas of Shavua, right? Eretz Yisrael is up to Shlach because of the 2 day or 1 day of Shavuos, second day was Shabbos. So they're going to do Chukas Balak in Chutz Laretz. But either way, so this is a tzamid pasil is a, if it's completely enclosed with a covering, right? We, that talks about an ohel ames, if you have a pottery, an earthenware utensil inside of an ohel, so if there's a seal on top of it or all around it, or really on top of it, by the mouth, so then it's going to be not mekabel tuma, it's going to be, anything inside of it is going to be tahor. But so here, if you're telling me that there's a hole in the flower pot, the size that rimonim, the pomegranates will fall through, but it has tzamid pasil, it has a covering around it, achi paches rubo, until more than half of the tzamid pasil has broken. So then, or really, I guess the Kli itself, until more than half of it will break, and then it's going to be no good. That's a shear for it to no longer be useful, because again, the outer covering is going to allow it to be more functional. Amar Ravasi said, Shamati Kli Cheres Shiro Kamotzi Rimon. I heard that the shear for Kli Cheres to become Tahar, and to no longer be considered a Kli, is Kamotzi Rimon. Amalei Rava Shemelo Shamata. Maybe you didn't hear Ella B'mugav Tzmi Pasil, because that's the halacha. Maybe by it when it's surrounded by a cover. The Gemara says, "I v'harava hu d'amar mukav Tzmi Pasil at Shiripaches Ruvo." But what? It's a very strange response from Rava. Rava was the one himself to say that the size of the hole or the size of the break that is needed by a Tzmi Pasil, if it's covered all around, is half of it has to break, not just the size of a rimon. So look at Marcus Lokasha, Habaravravi, Habazutravi. Habazutri. One, by the big, Ravravi is big, big utensils, yeah, they have to break in half. But the smaller ones, so then Lamaisa, if you take out a rimon, so then it is no longer going to have any usefulness of the kli. So it depends on how big the flower pot is. It's unclear. The Gemara doesn't really say how big is big, how small is small. Right, Rashi, again, the Tosfos doesn't like that either. Right, the Rashi says that the big one has to be cut in half, and the small one has to have a hole the size of a rimon. If I'm not mistaken, I'm just reading it now, but I think he flips it. No, he doesn't. No, he does. Yeah, he does. Right, meaning if it's a small kli, so then if you have half of it broken, so then it loses its usefulness, even though it's less than that's the chiddush. Even though it's less than the size of a rimon, but a big one, as soon as you have a rimon-sized hole, then it's no longer going to be a kli. Okay, either way, we'll mitzvah Hashem go vayter tomorrow. We have the schus of finishing the perek, and we will go vayter into more hotzah issues of zorek, of throwing. Which is interesting because it can be a little different, and we have to learn it from the Mishkan and figure out exactly where you get Zorek, because you know they didn't. The Mishnah already asked that they didn't really throw the krushim or any of the utensils in the Beis Hamikdash, so or in the Mishkan. So all right, Mitzvah Shem, we'll go right there. Very interesting stuff tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.